just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else? Have
yeah,
to come to
absolutely,
true
because
you.
I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no. Good evening, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is O'Reilly Radio episode 31 for Friday, November 7th, 2014. I'm your faithful host, Andy. We've got Don, we've got Ann, and we've got David somewhere. Oh, this chair's empty.
What's up, bitches?
I suddenly feel like Clint Eastwood talking to the empty chair. Oh, well, that's appropriate.
Maybe you want to go get liquor?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe even for liquor.
We're obviously going to need it because tonight we are talking about the results of the midterm elections.
There he is.
Oh.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, he's got some milk. Two cans are better than one. I'll drink to that.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome, David. We're live right now.
I got my milk.
What the hell?
What? What's up with the leche? What are you doing, man?
I had some cookies.
Oh, okay, all right. That is a valid excuse. I gotta say, you gotta wash that down.
Cookie monster.
I was saying I felt like Clint Eastwood talking to the empty chair there for a second as I was introducing your empty chair. Don't. Anyway.
Empty no longer.
Okay, so last week. Being for Halloween, we were talking about the macabre and the morbid and the things that go bump in the night. And one of which, was what to do when you die, you know, different ways to handle your body. Well, one of the things that I mentioned that was not in the article that we posted was being turned into a diamond. So did that happen to just pop up this week, on other pages? And I've posted a link in the errata section of the show notes, which are available at our website at www.oreillyradio.com. And you, of course, you can participate in the show at your leisure. Email us, oreillyradiopodcast@gmail.com, and give us a call, 470-222-6759. Really like somebody to actually do that once. That would be nice. No one has done that. I'm not going to take offense to it. I'm not. It's really sad. Okay, let's cheer it. Let's cheer up by talking about the politics. Oh God.
Cheer up by talking about politics?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's so cheery.
No, it's fairly
depression.
It's fairly masochistic, really. Well, there's some good news. There's some good news, and some of it's just too fucking funny to even.
It's about time that we have an exorcist in the
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. It's Klingenschmidt.
We've been missing that.
Gordon Klingenschmidt of
Colorado.
Yeah. I was going to say somewhere else, but yeah, he is now a member of the Colorado House of Representatives. So he's a state legislator. Thankfully, he has not gone all the way to Washington, though he might. Please.
You never know.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Do not let this happen. Please. Show up to the polls.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
really.
He is a demon hunter.
Well, he's got a long and sordid history of talking out his ass about things that he thinks he knows. He's talking from, you know, I'm gonna be fair, at least as fair as I possibly can. Anyone that has their head stuck up their deity's ass quite this far obviously is wanting to save people that he thinks are in jeopardy of the fires of torment and hell. So I'm sure that he's so deeply invested in this mindset that he genuinely thinks he's helping.
He means well.
I know that he has to mean well, because no sane person could possibly say the things that he's saying without meaning them from a deep place in his heart. back in July, he said that atheists should undergo an exorcism to rid them of the devil so that they can feel comfortable in church. That was when he was just starting to run. Now, of course, that he's been elected, we're going to hear an awful lot more from Mr. Klingenschmitt, I'm sure. I mean, he has his own section out on Right Wing Watch, okay? That's how wacky he is. And though, yes, this show does tend to be very left-leaning and more on the secular side, if you look around, and you can go ahead and ask out there, we have Right Wing Watch as a resource that we can go to where they don't doctor anything up. They just start the tape, end the tape. They let it play out. Okay? All they do is present the guy and what he said. That's really all they do. Then there's a lot of these actually out there online. And they're all about the super ultra right conservatives saying these
completely out there things.
They're words. I know that they're words, but I don't think they mean what they think they mean. It's drivel, really. It's absolutely insane drivel. And if you go ahead, and I challenge you to do this, this is your homework, audience, go ahead and find the same thing that Right Wing Watch does, but for the liberals. Go ahead. I'll wait. Uh-huh. Yeah, you go ahead.
We looked.
Yeah, go ahead and pause it.
We looked.
Here's the thing. You're not going to find it. Because honestly, I want to do the actual fair and balanced thing. I want to mock everybody. No one is safe.
Well,
no one.
The right wing has Fox News, but they only show the clips that
they doctor it up.
The whole clip?
Yeah. They cut it early or they start it late. One way or another, the way they cut it tells their narrative, the way that they want to portray them. And all you have to do is just click through to the source of the video and watch the bookends of what they've cut off. And it's a totally different story. That's not fair and balanced, guys. That's yellow journalism, tabloid crap. Okay. Now I know that there are some crazy people out there on both sides of the aisle. But really, you guys got more than your quota, okay? You really do. And I don't understand why you keep electing them. I really don't. Unless this is truly a measure of the electorate. And, as an atheist, I say God help us. I think we need to maybe even have a moment of silence for that. Anyway. Sorry, that was maybe not a moment of silence so much as banging my head against against everything. Anyway, Klingenschmitt, boy, I love him. I love him. He's great. He says some really, insane things, and he has his own radio show, Pray in the Name, in Jesus' Name, where he gets to be as crazy as he'd like to be. But now he gets to actually make policy. So I recommend that everyone out there that is of voting age actually work on their memory retention and remember everything that he says from now until the next election and just vote with that in mind. Because it seems that we have a very short-term, we have short-term and long-term memory loss in this country. I think that perhaps is the great story of our 2014 midterm election, is that nobody fucking remembers what happened the last 6 years.
That must be.
I think it's more along the lines of 1984. And then it's a double whammy.
Well, David, are you in the right corner where the telescreen cannot listen to?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No, I'm sorry. I actually know that book too well. That's all. Moving on.
Oh,
the telescreen, yes.
I had something else on my mind, so I didn't quite catch the reference there. Yes. No, the camera's right in front of me, so Big Brother can mm-hmm. watch face on yeah. as I say this. The double whammy is, you know, midterm elections, left wingers usually don't show up. This is the historical yeah. fact of life. That's the way it is. Yeah. The other part of it is that the people on the right wing have been hammered for so long saying that the country's going down the tubes when unemployment has gone down to 6%. There's no, you know, they've all stopped talking about the unemployment numbers. Mm-hmm. What else happened? There was a bunch of
well, let's see, the doubt.
Oh, the deficit's down by more than 50%.
Yeah.
That's something. He did get us out of both wars, even though it looks like we're going to go back to Iraq for some fucking reason that I don't understand at
yeah,
this time.
Yeah, I noticed that today, yeah. Also, the stock market's doing very well. The job market has greatly improved. More jobs have been added over the last several terms.
Our emphasis on producing our own energy has yielded the fruit of a price war, essentially, on oil, which is now lowering our gas prices a ridiculous amount.
Right. Even though, to be fair, the president does not obviously set fuel economy prices.
He doesn't set fuel prices, but he planted the seeds of reducing the cost of our energy.
Certainly, yeah. I am very curious. I'm skeptical, of course, and curious. Now that the election season is done, how quickly does that gas price go back up?
Yeah, that is a good possibility.
I'm not sure how that's going to go. I'm not sure whose side it benefited either.
It's not the same situation, though, because, 2008, gas price went over $4 a gallon for a regular unleaded, right?
Yeah.
And people forgot about that.
Now that was also the national average. Was
$4. 2012 election. The 2012 election, there was this meme going around. 4 years ago, the price of gas was $1.58, mm-hmm. and I said, "Bull fucking shit, where?" And I looked it up.
Heart of Georgia.
And the price of gas went down $2.50 a gallon in the span of 14 days leading up to the election. And then after the election, when Obama was elected the first time, they shot right back up to the $4 a gallon.
Yep. Yep. So we will...
While it's really true that for a period of approximately 30 days, we had low gas prices prior to Obama, it's not characteristic of reality.
No.
And the reality... But if you talk to people from the right wing, they'll cling on to that number. Hey, before Obama was elected, gas was $1.58 a gallon. Technically true for like 14 days. But the period before that and the period after that is still basically the fucking record for high gas prices in this country.
Yeah. I was actually out in California about that time. It was ugly. Mm-hmm. It was really uh-huh. ugly because, like I said, that was the national average, which meant that there were some that were much lower and some that were much higher. So we're looking at the mean average yes. right in there. So it was nasty out there. Anyway.
But for gas prices to come down mm-hmm. $3 a gallon, so it's just $3 a gallon. That's
– yeah. Yeah, I think I was able to get gas today at $2.75.
Nice.
Yeah.
The coming weeks will tell whether or not this was just for the election or if it's going to be a longer trend. And right now, I think it's going to be a longer trend because of the OPEC countries essentially are trying to get the price per barrel so low that it doesn't make sense for us to pump oil anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, except we still will because that's jobs.
It is.
Yeah. Yep. So that and half the oil, actually probably more than half the oil that we actually make. Obviously, I am not a source of all this knowledge. I'm pulling most of these statistics off the top of my head, so feel free and do your own research. But there's an awful lot of gas that we sell directly to China. An awful lot of coal that we sell directly to China.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we could use here at home without spending all the money on actually shipping it, we're sending away. Which, I don't know if that's the best economic solution, but I'm not really, I'm not that well-versed in that kind of global exchange.
Well,
so,
they're buying it, so hey.
They are buying it. They're buying it. So
my position is basically, you know what, we should keep pumping it out of the ground, and ultimately it's going to make for a safer world, especially if they continue this price war. And it's because people don't realize a lot of the shit that happens out in the Middle East with the OPEC countries. It's kind of like, you know, the NRA says, oh, there's a Democrat in office. They're going to take all your guns away. And everybody goes out and buys all the guns they possibly can. They blow their fucking Christmas money on buying guns.
Yep.
And then nothing happens.
Nope.
Because the Democrats are not going to take your guns away.
Yes.
I know it's hard to believe.
It's never even a thing.
They're not.
Yeah.
That was never part of their plan. With that said, you know, it's the same shit we see over there. They've got terrorism. They're funding it.
Yeah.
The OPEC countries are funding the terrorists.
Well, kind of so are we.
we're helping them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that our help has more to do with the oil lobby than it has to do with national self-interest.
It's a very tangled web, one way or another.
It's a very tangled web.
However,
but pretty much I feel like the reason terrorism exists over there is to keep the price of oil up. But back to my original point of,
well,
you know, they've been hammered with all this misinformation for so long that they literally cannot see the truth if it's right in front of them.
Well, here's back to Klingenschmitt. Now, Right Wing Watch on the 5th had a little article on him. As meet Dr. Chaps Gordon Klingenschmitt, Colorado's new anti-gay demon-hunting state legislator. Dr. Chaps Klingenschmitt, a radical anti-gay religious right activist who brags of having once tried to rid a woman of the foul spirit of lesbianism through an exorcism, and who openly proclaims that, quote, American law needs to reflect God's law, and that our foreign policy must be based on the Bible, won election in Colorado House of Representatives last night. Klingenschmitt, who wrote a book about how President Obama is possessed by demons and once performed an exorcism of Obama, ran an utterly embarrassing campaign, yet nonetheless managed to defeat his Democratic opponent by nearly 40 points. Since Klingenschmitt is now officially an elected Republican legislator, it seems like a good opportunity to take a look back at the radical views he will now bring into the Colorado legislature. Now, it goes on for quite some time with four different whole videos, and though they're absolutely hilarious, they're also terrifying that this is the kind of person that is now going to be actually putting laws into practice. Now, many of you out there in Internetlandia are unaware of how our political system really works. We see on CNN and C-SPAN and some of the big channels what happens on Capitol Hill because we think that that's the source of all laws. It's not. Not at all. Most laws, most actual work that's done in government happens at the state level.
Yeah.
There, you know, if we look at Congress and Senate, you know, that it's gridlock. It's gridlock all the time. It's not that way in your state. And you don't even know who your state representatives are most of the time. But these guys are up there working all of their special interest groups. And it's phenomenal the number of things that are going on. John Oliver just recently raked over the coals with his Last Week Tonight show on Showtime. No, HBO. one of those pay channels that I don't get and I just get the YouTubes of. He was talking about what happens at the state legislature level. And it's phenomenally stupid how we are electing these people. And that's one of the really horrible things that happened during this midterm election was, let's see, here in the state of Florida, you know, we're very Florida-centric because, well, we fucking live here, so you're going to have to deal with it. Out of those that were registered voters, okay, the electorate at large, less than 50%, in fact, less than 40%, I believe, in total, around 37%, actually bothered to show up. Okay. Now, combine that with the other statistics around the country of lower young Democrat turnout and higher older Republican turnout. And that's what you have. You have the people that have been fear-mongered by their media sources, which would really be Fox News. I'm not pointing fingers to point fingers. I'm pointing fingers because that's true. You know, that's where they're getting their news from, is this Fox News, which isn't even news most of the time. It's all fear to sell soap, and they're selling a lot of fucking soap.
Opinions and fear.
Yeah. So I encourage you to go ahead and follow the links and figure out who this Klingenschmitt guy is, and don't let another one of him in office. You know, drag your young people to the polls, but really we need to also know what we're voting for. There are a lot of people that voted straight along party lines and having no clue who they're putting in office. I dare say that might be the case with Mr. Klingenschmitt.
Most likely, because people don't pay attention to the state and local lawmakers, even though those are the ones that affect them most directly.
Yeah. They saw that he was
to the guys they're going to send to Washington, which is it's important, yes, that's pay attention to those people, but they are no more or less important than the state guy.
Yeah. They probably saw that Klingenschmitt was a doctor and a former chaplain with the Navy. I think it was the Navy. And
he was discharged, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. they kind of told them to get out.
I think it was dishonorable.
He's pro everything that that the Republican Party ticket really wants, you know, pro-life, anti-gay, pro sanctity of marriage, you know, all the talking points, he's got those, but he goes way further and nobody's looking at that.
There's one quote I've been looking at here on this page. He talks about that. He says that they should have never repealed the don't ask, don't tell policy. It should never have been repealed since gay soldiers cannot serve effectively in combat because they are constantly, quote, taking breaks on the combat field to change diapers, all because their treacherous sin causes them to lose control of their bowels, unquote. He also proclaims that those who are not welcome in the church should not be entitled to use public restrooms.
Yeah. That's
kind of loon. That's loon.
He's really extreme. Really extreme. Gays, he says, have something inhuman and demonic inside them, which is why he declares that teaching kids about gay marriage is mental rape and advocates for Christians to print anti-gay Bible verses on the backs of gay wedding photos. Good job, Colorado. Good job.
Oh, yeah. Obamacare causes cancer. That's a good one.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Defend themselves against left-wing crazies.
So following one of these appearances, Dr. Chap said on his Pray in Jesus' Name show today, he received an email from someone defending President Obama's health care reform legislation by telling the story of a friend who was unable to receive treatment for her cancer because she could not get insurance. In response, Dr. Chap said that Obamacare was not the answer, but was, in fact, the cause of her death, saying, Obamacare is the one that killed this poor lady with cancer.
Oh, God.
As Dr. Chap sees it, Obamacare is actually causing people to lose their health insurance, which means that Obamacare causes cancer.
Now.
And then there's one thing. The FCC is allowing demonic spirits to, quote, molest and visually rape your children, quote, unquote.
These things really hurt my head. Because they don't make any sense at all. I don't understand how a government with single digit approval ratings is reelected 90% of the time.
Yeah. Well,
does that make anyone else angry?
I know enough people on the other side of the fence to have some inside track on what they're actually thinking.
Please,
and what they're thinking is that all the obstruction is because of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. They honestly believe that the reason why nothing's getting done is because Democrats are actually the ones obstructing everything.
And until they get a solid majority, they're not going to think otherwise.
The quote was basically that
right.
In the Senate, there's a whole slew of Republican written laws and bills and whatnot that weren't allowed to go to a vote because it was controlled by Democrats.
But that's in the Senate.
I did look into this a little bit, and it is in part true, but the reason they weren't allowed to go to a vote was because they all included provisions that defunded or eviscerated the Affordable Care Act.
Right, yeah. And so, that's going to come around again. They've already said that.
They're going to whittle away at it. Now they have the power to whittle away at it, and people are going to start losing things that they did not know that they had.
They are perfectly willing to take away all of the health coverage that has been given.
Oh.
That is going to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even being hyperbolic here. Mm-hmm. I'm not exaggerating. There are people that will die because they're not going to have their health coverage anymore.
Yeah, the system is not great as it is. It's not ideal by any means. There's a lot of gaps, a lot of holes, but those holes, at least currently, are on the path of getting closed. If they go start pulling back, those holes are going to get wider, and they're going to turn into sinkholes large gaps of people are going to fall through.
I got to tell you one story to make my other point.
Do it.
Essentially, people may not remember this because it's like close to 20 years ago. But Florida used to have an insurance regulator in government, the guy who actually regulated insurance prices, home insurance and whatnot for Floridians.
Yeah.
And prices were low and life was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lawton Childs died, and then we elected Jeb Bush, who repealed all of that. And since then, home insurance prices have gone insane. And I believe that basically it's punishment for having the nerve to regulate them in the first place. If the GOP wet dream happens and health insurance is deregulated, the ACA is thrown out the window, they no longer have to, you know, spend 85% of what they take in on providing care or provide a check to their customers at the end of a period when they haven't used their insurance benefits at all, the American people will be punished for the hubris of having tried to regulate them in the first place. And what you'll see is way less coverage for way more money.
I really
believe that if they do eviscerate the Affordable Care Act, you're really going to feel the effects of that.
Well, the problem is the problem is on the other side of that, that's what their people are already seeing. And that's where this holding back on stuff, this whole bickering in the, and bickering between the two sides has already caused this because it didn't allow the full thing to happen. I mean, people now are seeing rates that they can't afford for coverage that's non-existent, like having a $10,000 or $15,000 deductible and paying $1,000 a month for that.
Yeah. That's not the price that I've seen. I mean, like I've got a friend who literally last year had a quadruple bypass. Literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then lost his job and was able to get health insurance for himself and his wife for something like $600 a month.
Yeah.
And it's good insurance. It's taking care of him. It's doing what insurance is supposed to do, because the bills without the insurance would be obscene.
Well, and that's
completely obscene.
Well, no, and that's where my point come in is the deductible. Once you meet that deductible, it's all the people who are healthy who are getting screwed. That's my point. Right now, that's the
yeah, but it's also that's the thing people don't understand though, is that what insurance is fucking robbery anyway. Okay?
Yeah.
I think we're all comfortable that we know that already. It's extortion. In the state of Florida, for instance, you have to have auto insurance. You can't drive your car without it. It's legalized extortion.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. You may be the safest driver ever. But then somebody else runs into you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have insurance. So who's going to pay for you? Well, you are. Your insurance is going to pay for you. It's the same deal with health coverage.
Mm-hmm.
No one plans to hurt themselves unless they have a different mental issue. And you know, that might be covered by insurance too. But you know, it's a simple thing, really. When you get sick, you want to get better. No one that is, let's see, a good contributor to society wants to see another person ill. It's something in our makeup that makes us say, no, okay, that person over there, that's, I believe they just coughed up their spleen. I think that's probably bad. I would like to help them. As long as it's not Ebola. Oh God, Ebola, 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 Ebola. Anyway. We would like to help them. I am not personally equipped. I do not have the medical expertise to do that. What would I do? I would take them to a fucking hospital. Where there are a legion of trained people to help them. That costs money. It costs a lot of money because of the way the system has been built up over the years. But they gotta go. And if they don't have insurance and they're seen, all of that money, they still have to take care of them. You know, if you go to the emergency room and you don't have insurance, you are still going to be taken care of. And then
they
it's
have
going
a legal obligation to not deny you care.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then who's going to pay for that? Everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's who pays for it. So really, all we've done is taken the emergency room narrative and transferred that into the insurance narrative. I mean, it's a simple transfer. That's all we've done. So those that can't afford it, we as contributors to society are helping out those people get the coverage they need. As long as they're getting the preventative care that is automatically included, then you know what? They're going to be healthier people. They're not going to need the services as often. It's the people that really, really need the services that are going to be taking the money from the system. It's the same as auto insurance. Driving along, happy, happy, happy. I'm still paying my premiums. Everything's good for years and years and years. And then, oh, look, I collide with something. Fate happens. I lose my car. It's a total write-off. Thousands of dollars out. Hopefully I'm okay. Everything's taken care of because I've been paying into the system for a long time. And if I end up pulling, and if I end up pulling more from the system than I even paid in, then the other people that had smaller accidents or no accidents, thank you very much, they paid into the insurance company so they could pay for the problems that I had. That's the system. And you know what? The insurance companies still have some really big, shiny buildings, don't they?
Oh yeah.
They're making the money. So even if you're trying, you know, distributing the problem here, to say that it's simply going to fail is it's just an invalid argument. It's an argument from ignorance. You don't know that, and you're obviously not paying any attention. Most of the people that are saying that the Affordable Care Act is bad and it's going to destroy everything, you know, it's bad for my employers and everything like that. Well, let's look at something. Hannity. Sean Hannity. Wonderful man. Obviously, he's probably got his heart in the right place. It may be in someone else's chest because I think he's actually a heartless idiot. But they did a piece on him on Salon. And usually, I can take or leave Salon for the most part because their articles are kind of shit. But in this, the guy that did the article also happened to be a investigator for, let's see, what was he? What did he do? Just to give credit where credit is due. I happened to turn on the Hannity show on Fox News last Friday evening. Average Americans are feeling the pain of Obamacare and the healthcare overhaul train wreck, Hannity announced, and six of them are here tonight to tell us their stories. Three married couples were neatly arranged in the studio, the wives seated and the men standing behind them, like game show contestants. As Hannity called on each of them, the guests recounted their Obamacare horror stories, canceled policy, premium hikes, restrictions on the freedom to see their doctor of choice, financial burdens upon their small businesses, and so on. These are the stories that the media refuses to cover, Hannity injected. But none of it smelled right to me. Nothing these folks were saying jived with the basic facts of the Affordable Care Act as I understand them. And I understand them fairly well. I have worked as a senior advisor to a governor and helped him deal with the new federal rules. Now, this is Eric Stern. Okay, that's the guy who wrote this. And then he took it a step further and he called every single one of those people and did his own interview. And overwhelmingly, the result was they didn't even try. They never went out to the healthcare exchange. They never went to healthcare.gov. They never bothered with it and refused to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was, let's see, I first spoke with Paul Cox of Leicester, North Carolina. He and his wife, Michelle, had lamented to Hannity that because of Obamacare, they can't grow their construction business and they have kept their employees below a certain number of hours so that they are part-timers. Now,
people do that all the time anyway.
Here's the rub in that, though. Obamacare has no effect, zero effect, on businesses with 49 employees or less. But in our brief conversation on the phone, he says, Paul revealed that he only has 4 employees. Okay, 4. Why the cutback on his workforce? Well, he said, I haven't been forced to do so. It's just what I've chosen to do. I have to deal with increased costs. What costs and how, I asked him. Is any of it due to Obamacare? There was a long pause, after which he said he'd call me back. He never did.
Of course.
Now.
Is that, yeah, that, not right.
Now, he then went on to use, a calculator from the Kaiser Family Foundation to figure out what the rates would be for a couple of the other families who had refused to actually look. And he was getting 63% less on the current bill that they had by just going through the exchange. 63% less. They didn't even bother looking. It's almost like there's free money there.
And they simply refused.
Yeah.
They've been told that the exchanges are horrible, the prices are out of sight, blah, 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 blah. You'll never find better insurance. And if they had actually taken the time to research it, they would know that those allegations are categorically false.
Yep. Robbie and Tina Robinson from Franklin, Tennessee. Robbie is self-employed, a Christian youth motivational speaker. You can see his work on a link that he's even given. On Hannity, the couple said that they, too, were recently notified that their Blue Cross policy would be expiring for lack of ACA compliance. Now, for those of you that don't know, the policies that you weren't allowed to keep were the ones that weren't good enough to remain in the Affordable Care Act. They did not meet the minimum spec. That's why they went away. They were shit plans. I mean, that's the bottom line. You were being raped with those plans. That's why they were going away. So the compliance plans, you got to go look at them. They told Hannity that the replacement plans Blue Cross was offering would come with a rate increase of 50% or even 75%, and that the new offerings would contain all sorts of benefits that they don't need, like maternity care, pediatric care, prenatal care, and so forth. Their kids are grown and moved out, so why should they be forced to pay extra for a health plan with superfluous features? When I spoke to Robbie, he said he and Tina have been paying a little over $800 a month for their plan, about $10,000 a year. And the ACA compliant policy that will cost 50 to 75% more? They said this information was relayed to them by their insurance agent. Had they shopped on the exchange yet, I asked? No, Tina said. Nor would they. They opposed Obamacare and want nothing to do with it. Fair enough. But
wow.
But they should know that I found a plan for them at almost $3,700 a year, 63% less than their current bill. It might cover the things that they don't need, but so does every insurance policy. And most of them cover things that you don't need until you need them.
Well, that's kind of the point of insurance.
Exactly. It's the entire point.
Shit that you don't need right now, but you might need it someday.
Yeah, it's the entire point.
When you're old and senile, it's going to cost a lot for your medical care.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. As you get older, you're the one that needs it. It is statistics, okay? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the last time I remember seeing them, once you hit about 55, you know, the time that you're considering retirement age, your body also happens to start falling apart. And you end up going to the doctor more often. You end up having just more things wrong with you, more cancer screenings, more everything involving your health. My dad is on, I don't know how many pills a day. And I know he's on quite a few. And many of them I don't think he actually needs. But he does everything that his doctor tells him. Everything. That's probably good for him. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there are other benefits to the ACA that are even outside of having insurance. For example,
yeah.
Last year I got sick, and my job did not provide insurance, and I hadn't shopped out insurance for myself on the ACA, so I was uninsured. And I had, you know, a bronchial infection. I needed an antibiotic. Doctor prescribed me 875 milligram amoxicillin.
It's the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much do you think it cost me?
Where did you go?
Publix.
Publix? $0.
Nothing. Yeah.
It cost me zero. Absolutely zero.
Yeah.
I paid no money out of pocket to get my prescription.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some
of those things are hard to quantify. If you people are stuck in their routines. They don't want to shop around and find out, hey, if I go over here, I can get it way cheaper. And it's the same.
Yeah,
it's
kind literally of a trickle down. You know, I can liken the healthcare industry and some of the things that we've done with, you know, the Affordable Care Act or Medicare Part D, which, you know, that was, by the way, a Republican joint that failed almost as bad, if not worse, than the Affordable Care rollout. but they stuck with it and didn't fucking complain, even though it cost billions. I liken it to NASA and the little fallout that we get from that, like Velcro. Microwave ovens.
Mylar.
Any number of fantastic space-age materials. All of that is fallout from having a good space program. You know, the fact that you were able to go get zero cost or low cost. I've seen it, you know, if you go to like one of the discount pharmacies that's not Publix, I've still seen it for like $5, no matter what. I think if you can't afford $5 to have yourself healthy, you have bigger issues. So that's a wonderful thing, but that's because of all the different pieces that have fit into play. And that would definitely be a part of the Affordable Care Act. Preventative care is covered at 100%, as it should. You can always go get a physical. Many people have no idea what their health is like. No idea at all. They think they're okay, but they don't know. They don't go and get the simple checks. And it's sickening when you could just do it. So, didn't mean to get on the Affordable Care Act, but that's definitely going to be part of this whole process that we now have to go through, because as Mitch McConnell, now the majority leader in the Senate, he's already been talking with Bonner, majority leader in the House, about, what would they possibly be talking about that they've been trying for dozens of times now?
The 65th attempt to repeal Obamacare?
That would be it. That would be it. Yeah. There
because
are,
50 plus times before that weren't enough?
They're going to keep doing it. Yeah. They're going to keep doing it. So what's that going to do? It's going to take coverage away from people.
My sincere hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to mirror one of my friends. You know this guy. I'll do a little quote here. I want the people who voted against me to suffer, because that is what they voted for, and they should have it. They should have it. They requested it. They voted in the party that said we're going to do away with this, and they should have it. And it's one of those things where I would encourage the Democrats to reach across the aisle and say, you got 2 years, you everything you want. Everything. We're not going to present laws. We're only going to vote on the ones that you want. And just have it be a completely red for 2 years and just say, here is what you will get with the policies that they are promoting. Just so you know, this is what we've been fighting against. This is the fight that we've had that you have basically kicked us out in favor of. And while it will be painful and it might take generations to overcome, it will be generations that will hopefully look back and remember, oh, yeah, we don't want to do that. That was a bad idea. We know how this story ends. We know what happens when, you know, minimum wage gets stuck at a point that is very far below what you need in order to actually survive. We know what happens when you take away worker protections. We mm-hmm. know what happens when you do not regulate certain markets. And then what happens is the people get fucked hard.
But
they don't realize that that's what's going to happen. They need to know this firsthand.
It's not that they don't know that's what's going to happen. They want it to fucking happen. They don't realize how bad it's going to be for them. It's an amazing statistic how the lowest paid, the lowest income families in the United States are also the most Republican supporting. It is phenomenally strange that the people that benefit the most from all of the welfare in the country are the ones that want it to go away.
Well, I can see...
No,
they devil's advocate that.
Okay, go ahead.
They don't want to be on welfare. They want to be self-sufficient. They want to make it. They want to live the American dream. And more power to them that
absolutely.
They want those things. But they're never going to do those things without a higher minimum wage. They're never going to do those things without worker protections.
No.
Or requirements that, you know, like I would put in a second caveat to minimum wage. If you are not going to work people to full time and then provide them with benefits, 401k, health insurance, dental plans, etc., then they should make more per hour than people making $40 hours a week.
Yeah, you think so. You'd think that that would be a thing to do. Because I have, at least in the past, looked at, you know, the entirety of the compensation package. Most people do have the blinders on that, you know, no, it's only what I make, my take-home salary every year. That's the only thing that matters with my job. When really it's the entire compensation package. It's do you have dental? Do you have health insurance? Do you have all these things? I implore everyone that does get these benefits to look at your pay stub and look at how much more money your employer is putting out on the table for you. It's not going to you, but it's offsetting your costs. Things that would have to come out of your pocket.
It's taken a couple turns, but it comes back around to you.
Yeah. One way or another, so it is.
Every time you go to the dentist and you don't have to pay the dentist because it's on your insurance.
Yeah.
It's coming back to you. Every time you go to the doctor and you don't have to pay the full frickin' price of the doctor.
Yeah.
It's coming back to you. If you have to go to the ER and you have a $50 copay, it's coming back to you in spades.
A friend of mine currently has a medicine right now that costs $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
$4,000. It's just, how does anybody even think about paying for that?
With insurance?
That's the only way.
And the only reason insurance is going to continue paying for that is because they can no longer kick that person off of their insurance rolls.
Right. Because of the Affordable Care Act.
Which if that is one of the protections that they do away with, they will kick him off. He will not be able to afford the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very real possibility that that is a direct victim we can point to and say, you're going to kill that man with what you're about to do.
That's ridiculous. Now, obviously, these are going to be the things that are going to directly affect us. You know, it's really the Affordable Health Care Act and all the things that they do there. Of course, they're going to also try to do away with minimum wage entirely if they can, to where then it's only on the good graces of your employer. Now, it's been said many times by many intelligent comedians out there, stand-up philosophers, I would like to call them, that there's a minimum wage for a reason. And if you're being paid the minimum wage, you know damn well that your employer is only paying you that because they have to. They would certainly like to pay you less. So if you're making over minimum wage, you're probably okay. If you're making minimum wage, you are a wage slave. That is the absolute minimum they can pay you.
Yeah. My parents turned on Fox News one day, and they had a very upsetting experience. One of the talking heads up there, as they like to call them, suggested that we use minimum wage $1 an hour, and then every American could be employed. They would not be gainfully employed. You could not survive.
It's called the working poor.
Homeless.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay for gas at $1 an hour.
No.
Forget the fucking car.
40 hours a week.
$40.
$40. Oh, wait,
what
taxes.
Are you gonna live on?
Taxes.
Yeah.
$30
a week. 30%?
Yeah.
And that's if you're even getting to 40 hours a week.
Now, of course, people are going to say, well, no, there's tax breaks for that. You know, if you don't make a certain amount of money, then
no.
don't have
those
to actually
pay. Those
tax
breaks don't kick in until you actually file your taxes at the end of the year.
Ah, yes, that's
and
true.
And they still take that.
That's true, yeah. They still have to take them out. Yeah.
They still take that out. That is held by the United States government. And your state government, if you live in a state with state taxes, mm-hmm. until the end of the year, they do not prorate you that shit because you are below a certain level.
There, I think we've explored that avenue. So, yeah. So, they basically are going to do an awful lot of things that are going to hurt the lowest waged people in this country. And those are the people, that are voting red. I don't understand it. I really don't. You know, the meme out there, of course, for the right wingers is that it's not the low end, you know, Republicans that's doing all the bad things. No, it's the low end Democrats that are doing these things. But that's not how the statistics actually lay out. Go ahead, take a look. But don't just believe the talking heads. They make things up on Fox News. They change quotes to better fit the narrative that they're trying to sell. You know,
They are not a news outlet. They are an opinion outlet.
Yeah, it goes right back to, please, I dare you, find a media outlet where they are able to just lay out the things that Democrats say and it'd be stupid. Go ahead.
You're find not someone else who honestly yeah. believes that the gas just that gas prices right before Obama was elected were $1.58 a gallon. Go look. There are machines that will tell you the information. Google yep. the gas prices in November of 2008, and then look 90 days before and 90 days after, and you will see line at $4 a gallon. Boom. November 2nd,
yeah.
boom, $4 a gallon.
Yeah. Well, what we like to call that in statistics is an outlier.
Yeah.
We would just erase that, actually. It's like, no, that's invalid data is what that is. Now, speaking of outliers and invalid data. Now, we have already established by a very wide majority, 97% of scientists agree that global warming is a real thing and that humanity is largely responsible for its onset, for its severity. Okay? That's 97%. 97 out of 100, with only 3 saying, nah, y'all, you guys are wrong. Okay? These are smart people. They've done a lot of research and they've got a lot of charts and they're rather upset about it. And as we've brought up before, even the Koch brothers who have bought into, you know, funding climate denialists, when they really did the hard research to try and find the answers that they were being paid to find, they didn't find it and went over with a 97. So. The truth is there. It's in the numbers. The numbers don't lie. Go ahead and look for yourselves. But, of course, we have the Republicans. And we have Republican Inhofe. Was it James? Thinking James. Yeah. Yes, James Inhofe. Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe. He heads the committee dealing with global warming. He also is a global warming denier. Let's see. As he says here, in handing Republicans' control of the Senate on Tuesday, Americans effectively voted for the party's hostile plans against President Barack Obama's environmental legacy. Their votes also put the Senate's environmental and climate policy into the hands of the worst science denier in national politics, Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, who is almost certainly the next chair of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Inhofe claimed in 2003, and he hasn't changed his mind since then, that global warming might help humanity. It's also, quote, it's also important to question whether global warming is even a problem for human existence. Thus far, no one has seriously demonstrated any scientific proof that increased global temperatures would lead to the catastrophes predicted by alarmists. In fact, it appears that just the opposite is true, that increases in global temperatures may have a beneficial effect on how we live our lives, end quote. In that same speech, he argued that an international body of climate change scientists resembled a Soviet-style trial in which the facts are predetermined and ideological purity trumps technical and scientific rigor, end quote. So he's calling... What's that?
I said, so he's looking in a mirror saying that
might as
his
well.
Stuff is... Yeah.
Might as well. And so now that was an article out on crooksandliars.com where really they were just pulling the facts again.
Now,
you know,
I will say
it's a great, great website.
If you're not familiar with scientists, when they get together to discuss things, it's not a political debate.
No, the science has been done. They're saying,
all right, I did all the science.
Yeah, they're reporting results.
The crystals have been put over the burners, and the chemistry all works out. Here's the results.
Yeah.
They're not debating those results. They're reading off what they spent the past year, 5 years, 10 years, however many years they've been working on their project, because some of those projects go for a long fucking time. And they are reading off the results. It's, you know, it's just, it is what it is. And it either leans one direction or it leans another direction. And that's all there is to it.
And they're probably giving their information saying, here, try to prove me right or wrong.
And that's called peer review. That's what's happened already. And the peer reviewed information says that it's real. It's a thing. Now, what are we going to do about it? Now, he is also Mr. Senator James M. Inhofe. He also calls climate change, quote, the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people, end quote, and compared the Environmental Protection Agency to the Gestapo.
No, the Fish and Wildlife Service, those are way more Gestapo-ish than the EPA ever could be. Because those fuckers can just take your shit. If they catch you with something that you're not supposed to have, they can take your boat. If it's in your home and they catch up with you, they can take your house.
Wow.
They've got some incredible leeway. And that goes back to those laws where if you get pulled over and the cop finds a whole bunch of cash in your car, he can confiscate that. We've talked about that story.
Okay. Now, yeah. Now, just to continue on, because, you know, we can't let Klingenschmitt take all the stage. Inhofe, in an interview, he heaped criticism on what he saw as the strategy used by those on the other side to debate the and offered a historical comparison. It kind of reminds, I could use the Third Reich, the big lie. So, the big lie. Ah, he's going straight Godwin's law. It's straight back to the Nazis. Straight to the Nazis. So now you may be asking yourself, wait, is this the guy who compared the demonization of carbon dioxide to Hitler's demonization of the Jews? No. You're thinking of climate denying physicist William Harper. That's a different guy. Senator Inhofe was a completely different Third Reich climate change theory. And that was in 2006, with Tulsa World. Inhofe said of scientific consensus on man-made climate change, it kind of reminds me of the Third Reich. So that's what that was about. Only kind of flubbed the reference, the big lie, was a term coined by Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf to describe the propaganda technique of Jews who purportedly told lies so colossal that no one would believe them. No one would believe that others could have the impudence to distort the truth so infamously. So, yes, the climate scientists in this analogy are the Jews, actually. Which is interesting. That's an interesting twist, of course, on the old Godwin's Law thing. Usually it's kind of the other way around. So just to clarify, Jews are carbon dioxide that we are demonizing. That's Will Harper. Climate scientists are Jews spreading lies. That's Inhofe. Who's going to be most likely the chair of the Environmental and Public Works Committee. And of course, he's not the only one out there. No. We have Dan Sullivan, Republican from Alaska. We have Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas. Cory Gardner, Republican from Colorado. David Perdue, Republican, Georgia. Joni Ernst, Republican, Iowa. Bill Cassidy or Mary Landrieu from Louisiana. Steve Daines, Republican, Montana. Now, who are all these people? I mean, these folks
are lawyers.
Are they? They're lawyers. They most likely are. That's pretty much all you ever get on Capitol Hill.
They're lawyers or they're political science majors.
Yeah. Well, these are all boosters for fossil fuels.
And
primarily.
In fact, political science should never be confused with science.
No, it's more like witchcraft, I think. More like witchcraft. Reading tea leaves. It's kind of political science.
I mean, political science is essentially researching how the government runs and the history of it. It's more political history and theory.
Yeah. Let's see. All these folks are big, and I didn't even finish the list, but they're all big in climate change denialism, anti-science, basically bad things for the world as a whole. Now, just recently, I didn't have this in the rundown, but it reminds me of it. Obama is going over to China. I'm not sure, he may be over there now or maybe a planned event, but he's there talking about climate change with the government, trying to get them to get on board, looking back at what we're doing in a positive way as we're leading the world in changing our policies. You know, responsible climate policies. Responsible environmentalism. Right now, even especially the Republicans would say that China is doing the worst things to the environment. You know, there are lots and lots of coal, which we're selling them. Lots of fossil fuels all over the place, generating all the power and everything else that they need for just to keep the country running. And of course, to keep cheap goods flowing into our Walmarts. It makes me very tired. Mm-hmm. It makes me very, very tired. Oh, I see that you found the link there for the Koch paid scientists proves global warming exists.
This isn't the one that I had read about before. This guy only got $150,000 from the Kochs. The other guy had gotten $61 million. But this guy...
Jeez, $61
million? Yeah, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy... So the biggest funder of this study is the Charles G. Koch Charitable Foundation, $150,000. So here's the quote, basically, call me a converted skeptic. 3 years ago, I identified problems in previous climate studies that, in my mind, threw doubt on the very existence of global warming. Last year, following an intensive research effort involving a dozen scientists, I concluded that global warming was real and that the prior estimates of the rate of warming were correct. I'm now going a step further. Humans are almost entirely the cause. Our results show that the average temperature of the Earth's land has risen by 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit over the past 250 years, including an increase of 1.5 degrees over the most recent 50 years. Moreover, it appears likely that essentially all of this increase results from the human emissions of greenhouse gases. These findings are stronger than those of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change group that defines the scientific and diplomatic consensus on global warming. In short, not only did he turn around and say, yes, climate change is a real thing, but it's happening at a faster rate than the UN thinks, according to their study. Now, the UN has probably taken an amalgamation of the different studies and basically, you know, averaged it out to say, okay, here's what's probably right. Take all the data points and you mush them together.
Yeah. I love that Michael Mann, one of the top U.S. climatologists, tweeted about it, saying, at this rate, Mueller should be caught up with the current state of climate science within a matter of just a few years. Zinger! Who says scientists don't have a sense of humor? Oh. Hope springs eternal. Unless you're a denier, then the expression is nope springs eternal. This is definitely a case of if you don't laugh at it, you're going to cry.
Well, it's, you know, it's all evidence of people listening to politicians who should not ever make statements of fact in regards to science. Ever. Yeah. Unless they have a scientist with them saying, well, here's, you know, we've got all these different studies. Here's the breadth of them. And here's what most of them say. We can do that with climate change.
Yeah.
We can do that with a lot of things. We can do that with GMOs, which, by the way, will not kill you.
No. Because you've been eating them your entire life already.
Mm-hmm. They will not destroy your liver unless there's still pesticides on them, at which point you wash your fucking fruit.
You really ought to do that anyway. You know, they kind of say that actually at the grocery store, but who follows directions? Yeah. I tell you what, go lick some paint, okay? That's all. That's all. Yeah, I'm just, yeah. Getting angrier all the time.
Changing the DNA of an organism will result in killing you because the chemistry's already there, okay? Mm-hmm. If it were causing harm, there would be a new chemical in that plant that would be detectable.
Yeah.
Because we may be fragile creatures. I will grant you that. But it does take a sizable amount of chemical to cause liver and kidney damage.
At the genetic level.
A detectable amount of chemical has to do that.
But here's the thing. At a genetic level, if you look at an ear of corn that has, quote, not been genetically modified, and an ear of corn that has been genetically modified, you can't really tell the difference.
It's well, besides that, corn was something that we
corn special
selectively bred to its current form.
Same with bananas. Same with most of our apples. It's the same with pretty much our entire crop.
Bananas have seeds, little black seeds all over that bitch.
Yeah. They sure do.
When's the last time you bought a banana at a grocery store that had seeds in it? Neverwhere.
Neverwhere?
Neverwhere.
Carrots used to not be orange.
Yeah, weren't they purple?
Yeah, that some were purple, some were white, some were different colors, but they weren't orange. I mean, I'm sure there was a few that were, and they bred them to be.
There's a lot of different colors of carrots out there. You know, they pretty much all taste like carrots.
But there, you know, there's been literally, I think, over 10,000 studies done. Scientific research studies done on genetically modified
Yeah.
Organisms, food that you eat.
Well, here's the biggest thing that we can look at is, okay, you've been avoiding eating all that that delicious genetically modified food. That's fine. However, there's a large group that we could use as a study that hasn't been. In fact, genetically modified food is pretty much their exclusive diet. The cattle. You know, the ones that are corn fed? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're eating GMO corn. In fact, pretty much everything that they eat is genetically modified. And they live just fine.
They grow a little fast.
Well, they grow fast not because of the food, but because of the other hormone injections and everything else that we do to them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the corn itself...
Just imagine if we bred people like that. Take them with the hormones and feed them whey proteins.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we do.
Cartoon characters. Yeah, just eat the beef.
That's secondhand, though. You're not getting the full dose.
Yeah, you cook most of it out. There's a lot. There's obviously plenty of arguments that can be done from my side.
There's definitely a group difference. Yeah, I've heard a number of stories where the growth rate of, let's say, vegetarian kids over meat-eating kids in America is like extreme. Like they're maturing faster, and doctors know this now, and they're just saying, your kid's a vegetarian. Oh, that's why they're not as big as the other kids. They'll get there eventually. They just grow slower.
Yeah. They're not getting the hormones. So,
well, it may not also be just the hormones. It may be that their diet is not as rich in those things that an adolescent would really thrive from to grow faster.
They do know the hormones in the milk are causing girls to start having periods early and start developing breasts early and all that sort of stuff. That has been proven by science.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
if you want to fight against something, fight against having all those fucking hormones in the goddamn animals that are now causing your kids to start bleeding at 9.
looking like they're full-on teenagers when they really aren't. Yeah. Not anywhere near prepared for that kind of thing. You know, that statement, you know, the old axiom, wow, man, there must be something in the water around here. Maybe it was just the milk.
It's in the milk.
Yeah. So, since we're talking about food,
this works.
That's all good. So, Olive Garden, one of the Darden franchise restaurants, famous for its rather Americanized Italian food. They have a never-ending pasta pass available at specific restaurants, participating stores only. And it's $100. Pretty interesting. Not too bad.
The pasta pass is valid for all the pasta, salad, bread, and Coca-Cola drinks a person can consume during the 7-week period.
So it's 7 weeks, okay?
For $100.
So this guy, North Carolina.
Overachiever.
At least it's not Florida man. Okay?
For once.
North Carolina man. Burlington, North Carolina man.
But I got to point this out.
Yeah.
This is quick Orlando news.
It is.
So it's a Florida news thing probably putting this out there like, come on, Florida.
I don't know.
I know you can do this.
Oh, no, I don't think that is not a gauntlet that needed to be thrown.
The news is disappointed.
Not a gauntlet that needed to be thrown down. I'm telling you, just we didn't know. We don't need the challenge. But, okay, I think we've hyped it up enough. Okay, this guy ate 95 meals at Olive Garden in 6 weeks. 95. Around $1,500 worth of food for $100.
He's done good.
I imagine he's a bit roly-poly at this point.
I can't imagine his cholesterol levels.
Who knows what he ate? I have no idea. I know that in college, you know, 95 meals of ramen? That was easy. So.
It's all the pasta, salad, and bread.
Oh, so much. Oh, bread and salad. You know, if he ate salad, he could have actually eaten very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really could have.
If he stuck to the salad, had, you know, went easy on the breadsticks.
Yeah, no one does, but yeah.
Oh my God, their breadsticks are good.
Their breadsticks are fantastic. Yeah, I'm kind of hungry right now for them.
Breadsticks and fresh lobster, those cheese biscuits. Oh,
yeah. Yes, Red Lobster, another of the Darden franchises, the Cheddar Bay cheese biscuits. Yes, that's something that I can never get enough of, Cheddar honestly. But hey, good on you, Alan Martin from Burlington, North Carolina, for living the dream. Really.
Getting the most for your money.
You definitely beat the system to death on that one. Unfortunately, you've probably ruined it for the rest of us. Don't think they're going to do that one again.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I don't think they're going to do that one again.
They actually probably made a lot of money off of that. Oh, too, yeah. One person doing that.
Well, pasta's cheap.
This kind of advertises the whole thing, and you know, ultimately most people aren't going to have the fortitude to eat 95 meals at one location. Yeah.
Well, let's see. They charge over $2 for a soda, typically, and that's about 10 cents a pop, you know, for a fill. Really, for their cost. The pasta is mass produced and cheap as hell for them. Same with the sauce. And then
pasta is cheap as hell anyway.
Exactly. And the bread, that's pretty darn cheap, and they do that in volume as well. And salad. Mm-hmm. Salad could arguably be the most expensive thing.
Probably is.
Yep.
By far.
And yet it's still the thing that is like, it's garnish. Nobody really counts for that. So you'd actually be hurting them more if you eat probably the bread and the salad.
Yeah.
So really, they're making out like bandits on this. They probably didn't lose any money on that. Really.
I gotta grab something real quick. Just find something.
Okay, you do that. So, I'm terribly sorry for continuously coughing. I am still recovering from that same horrible phlegmy cough thing that I had last week. I'm a little better. But I'm trying to avoid antibiotics, so I didn't actually go to the doctor. I haven't needed it. So
I'm getting better.
Exactly. I'm getting better. Yeah.
Every day and in every way.
No.
Dave mentioned cheese rolls from Red Lobster.
Nom, nom, nom.
We happened to go to the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, and at Italy they had the, or not, was it Italy?
I think it was
the... They had the Italian cheese rolls.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
This recipe's online for that.
Yeah.
Really easy, too. Really easy.
Oh, maybe you should drop that in the entertainment reviews and picks. You know, we could probably go on longer. There's a couple cool things. We were talking earlier, you know, we're going to get out of politics for just a hair here. Because I think we've had enough.
Back to not politics, but pasta.
Oh, okay. Pasta text, yes.
I bought 5 pounds of pasta for a little under $6.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And that's probably not even the cheapest.
5 pounds of pasta. That's
actually expensive.
Like dehydrated state.
Yeah.
that's actually expensive. Prices for pasta have gone up a lot recently.
Yeah.
I used to be able to buy 2 pounds of pasta for $1 at like when they were buy one get one free at Publix.
Nice.
So, yeah. I used to do that when I ate pasta, it was like,
well, these were 50 cents a pound. Yeah, these are penne noodles, so
yeah.
It's not like the string where it's just like you just got a machine pumping that shit out all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
No, when it comes to the spaghetti, it's the same thing. It's a string.
It's just a
different dye.
It uses a lot more dough.
It's true. Yeah, it is a thicker noodle though. Yeah, but you're buying it by weight. So,
yes.
A pound's a pound the world around, they say. Anyway, mm-hmm. So long ago we were talking about solar fucking roads, solar highways, you know, that Kickstarter project or Indiegogo, or I'm not sure where they actually ended up
cool idea.
It's a great idea. There's obviously a lot of technical challenges with that, but they're working through them. Now, the Netherlands. We know they're kind of crazy over there. Well, they went ahead and they built the first solar road as a bike path.
Way to go.
That's a
good start.
It's a great start. It's a great start. And really, you know, that's gonna really have a pretty good return on investment because, well, bicycles don't really block a whole lot of sun, for one. So.
Well, overall, cars, you know, you think about all the time during the day where the road is not totally jam-packed. It's jam-packed in the morning, and it's jam-packed in the evening. And then you've got a whole stretch in the middle of the day where most roads in most places are fairly clear. And that happens to be when the sun's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a very long stretch of road. It's 230 feet. Okay.
Well,
so it's not very long. Yeah. It's in the suburbs. And it costs $3.75 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's expensive.
It's expensive. It's, but you know, it's the early adopter price, really. Cause everything's expensive right out of the gate. So to have.
Yeah, the stuff's not being mass produced yet.
Right, yeah. A lot of little infrastructure, of course, that had to go along with it. And yeah, it's a. Is it the same company? Is it the same company that did it?
It's the same concept. It's tempered glass protecting
solar cells. I think it is. I think it's Solar Roadways. Yeah, it's the same company. They're the only ones that are doing it.
Yeah.
It would appear.
You'd think that somebody else would have picked it up by now.
You'd think. Let's see. So these.
It's the same technology, but it's not specifically stated that Solar Roadways provided the road.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit vague. Let's see. But, you know, every time that they're talking about even this one, they still go back to the Solar Roadways guys.
There's every possibility that it's the same guys.
Solar Road in Kromeni, the Netherlands. Photograph Solar Road. Let's search Solar Road. It's another company. Different company. Okay. That's interesting. So, yay. We even have competition in the space now.
Yep.
That's what that means. So, fantastic.
Lead to some credibility.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting, of course, that Solar Road gets to, you know, actually do a full installation, actually gets to have something in the real world, and it only ends up being an advertisement for the other people that are doing something in the United States. That's amusing to me. But
yeah,
not terribly surprising.
The United States needs to get on the friggin' ball and start doing stuff like this.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link to Solar Roads next to that so that you too can benefit from the time I just took on the show wasting.
This might be
your
what
time
to ask for, but I'm hoping that someday Elon Musk listens to this, and if he does, I want him to know that he should buy solar roadways and start installing that shit at his quick charge stations.
That would make a lot of sense as a whole installation, yeah. Should be the entire parking lots at Tesla factories anyway.
Yeah.
Well, parking lots aren't as good because when cars are parked in the spaces. Maybe
well,
the roads
they do
in
is they,
this parking spot.
One of the concepts seen, and it's not a roadway, but they basically use the solar panels as shade and protection for the vehicles in the parking lots.
Germany's been doing
that. That's
beautiful.
Yeah, Germany's been doing that.
We need
heavily.
More of that.
Especially down here in Florida.
No shit.
Gee whiz. Friggin' hot. Even though we're coming into winter, it's still friggin' hot down here. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. We have two good political things that came up. The NRA didn't necessarily win big in this election. Because, of course, it wasn't just an election. It was also voting on new amendments and new laws and all sorts of fun things. And for some reason... Oh, there it goes. Okay. Apparently...
Washington State.
They just passed...
away on some of the minimum wage stuff. And now...
yeah. Go ahead.
They got done what no politician could get done. The voters in Washington State have now... They now have criminal background checks on all gun sales. No loopholes. So...
Hey.
You're a criminal, or if you want to sell a gun, you're required to do a background check on whoever it is that you're selling the firearm to. That includes people at gun shows and private sellers, I believe. I haven't gotten through this entire article yet. It's quite lengthy. Goes into that kind of detail, but it's long overdue.
Yeah.
Long, long overdue that, oh, I can't go to a gun store and buy a gun if I wouldn't pass the background check. But that's okay because there's all kinds of networks to private buyers who will sell me one without blinking a friggin' eye about who I actually am. And that's wrong. It is. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you want to live in a safer world, part of that is the due diligence to make sure that you're not selling dangerous things to shitty people.
Now, this is this is put out by Every Town for Gun Safety, which is backed by billionaire Michael Bloomberg and Americans for Responsible Solutions, founded by former congresswoman and mass shooting survivor Gabriel Giffords, both devoted major funds and other strategic assets to the fight. And they definitely won. It's passage of I-594 in Washington. So you can go take a look at that. And, of course, the NRA is kind of disturbed by it. Let's see. NRA and its allies also spent millions on the fight and feared the outcome they now face. Quote, "We are very concerned that Bloomberg's group will replicate this and we will have ballot initiatives like this one across the country," a NRA spokesman told the Olympian just prior to the vote. Let's see. So what's next? Glaze says Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, and Maine are strong prospects. So sure enough.
I mean, here's the thing when, you know, people point towards New York City and they say New York City has a ban on all guns, but the criminals there still get guns. It takes, it's an hour train ride to get to New Jersey, which has very lax gun control laws from New York City. You can go out there,
get
your weapons, and come back. They're not stopping you at the borders of New York City and saying, hey, did you buy guns? You can't bring those here.
True.
And that's the problem with gun control legislation at the state level. You have to have this be everywhere or nowhere. Because when you have places that are literally, you know, an hour drive or hour train ride, or, you know, there's no major geographization between places where you can easily purchase firearms without a background check and bring them into places where they don't want you to have them.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely,
and that's how
yeah.
criminals are circumventing the law.
It's been the constant problem. You know,
it's a continuous problem that every time we try to fix it, the NRA comes around and says, hey, they're going to take your guns away, man. This is just the first step. And the reality of it is they're promoting an unsafe world.
Yeah. Systematically. At every level.
At every level, they are promoting an unsafe world where you have to defend yourself at some point because we just can't keep the guns away from criminals because we won't do anything about it.
Yeah. Of course, you know, this also, it works in parallel. What you were saying about, you know, what is working at the state level does not mesh when we have a nation of little states because, well.
Yeah.
It's all well and good that New York City has a ban on fire. You can get them because New York State is not very large.
Yeah. Well, it's also the major metropolis, which is New York City, is very close to the borders of other states where the laws are vastly different.
Yeah, the New England area, you can go through multiple states in a day.
Yeah.
Easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Very easily. They're small states, and they're packed really close together. Mm-hmm. So if three of them ban guns and one of them has no gun control whatsoever, then everybody who wants the gun, criminal or not, simply goes to the state, which might be a 2 or 3 hour drive away,
mm-hmm.
buys all the weapons that they want, and then comes back. And because we're not fucking... We aren't actually a tyrannical government that watches every single thing that you do.
The hell you say.
You can cross state lines without being molested.
Or no papers?
Unless you're driving a very, very, very large vehicle. And then you're in a different category at that point if you have to have an 18-wheeler to move your guns.
Yeah, if you happen to be carrying Big Bertha in your trailer, you're a different category of person anyway.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah,
for the average person that might want to buy 2, 3, 4 guns or that, it's no big deal, really, to go to these states where they're honestly trying to make sure that everybody who owns a gun has a background check or something like it, or has some training, or whatever the case may be. To simply just drive across the state line.
Yeah, it's trivial.
When they do not. And in a lot of those places, you will find right on the fucking border gun stores.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they know. And because they are in themselves responsible.
Well, also.
For the hands of bad.
Also, it's the same thing with package lounges. You know, if there's any prohibition on dry counties or anything like that. Same thing with pornography. Same thing with gay marriage.
Yeah. Just drive to a state that has it.
Just drive to a state that has it. Now, of course, the problem there with gay marriage being, again, nationally, the federal government has chosen to recognize it.
Not all the states have.
But not all the states have. So, you can be living in a state, married to your husband or your wife, you know, in that wedded bliss, as it were. And you can both be legal and illegal at the same time, depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Well... Per the law, it's illegal for Claire and I to cohabitate since we're not a married couple.
Isn't the law amazing? Are you going to turn yourself in? That would be amazing. I want you to go turn yourself in.
Yeah.
And record it.
I don't want to do that.
And record it.
Yeah. Well, you see, I'm not a Christian, so I'm not under the religious belief that I should follow the laws of the land if they are stupid and outdated. So.
Well, yeah, but it's the law. Right?
I doubt that they'd even take me.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't take you seriously at all. No. Because at the same time that it's not legal, we still also have legal provisions for common law wives and you know, marriages, common law unions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. And
because that's not, yeah. You know, insane at all.
No, not at all. They have both at the same time.
Double think, really.
It is, yeah. It's because you can't have one without the other. And the first one's illegal. So why do you even have a law for the other one? Y'all fuckers.
Yeah.
What the hell?
We're so okay with cohabitation, even though it's illegal, still, that we're going to have common law marriages.
Yes, well, I think it's also illegal to tie your elephant to a hitching post outside of any establishment on Main Street.
I forget what state it was, but there's a state out there that has a law in the books where it's illegal to have sex with a mother and a daughter at the same time.
Wouldn't it be amazing to go back in time and figure out how that law even got on the books?
Right? Because you got to think about it. You know, a lot of laws come about because somebody fucked up.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Jeff, I think it was Jeff Foxworthy, you know, in an airplane and it says, you know, on the, emergency exit, do not open during flight. Well, you know what that means. Somebody said, sometime, honey, I'll be right back.
Never say I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You won't be.
No, it's a, hey, you want to see something?
Watch this.
Hey, watch this. Yeah. Famous last words. Yeah.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Hold my beer. Oh, wow. So speaking of things in Florida and more laws, David, you found this. Florida made history by approving the first city anti-corruption act in the United States.
I'm not the one that found it.
Well, you found it between us. You found it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that blew my mind. Still kind of at a loss as to what to say about this, but voters in Tallahassee have instituted the nation's first anti-corruption law.
I just want to
say that again and leave it hang in the air for a couple seconds to let that sink in fully. The nation's first anti-corruption in government law.
In Florida.
In the nation.
I know, but it happened in Florida.
No other place in the fucking country has this.
Which is amazing. Given that we
want you to bask in the glory of that statement for a couple seconds.
Well, Matt, you know they're going to turn around and make it so Florida's stupid for having it. Because Florida's stupid for everything else.
Well, we probably are stupid for having it simply because we have a governor that is basically a criminal.
Yes.
And we reelected him.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Well, we're not. There are other states where this would be worse. For example,
Detroit.
Alaska reelected a convicted felon. I think it was less than 90 days after his conviction.
Yeah.
To U.S. Senate.
Well, that's Senate.
They also had Sarah Palin.
Oh, that's not important.
I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely underqualified for the job if he got convicted.
The Palins, they simply lampoon themselves. We don't even need to talk about them.
It wasn't a Palin. It was a different guy.
Well, that's good.
No, I'm saying they elected Sarah Palin in the beginning, to begin with, and the fact that she didn't even complete a term. They don't have a good track record as it is. So
now there is a YouTube of the Tallahassee Anti-Corruption Act explained. Shall I play that?
Sure. Why not?
About a month ago, the good people of Tallahassee, Florida woke up to this headline. Tallahassee voters will decide ethics proposal. Nice. Now, at first glance, that probably sounds like the most boring thing any human has ever typed. But if you're sick of getting sold out to special interests, no matter how many different parties or politicians you vote for, this is really, really good news. Because right now, the capital city of Florida is on the verge of amending its city charter and passing the first citywide anti-corruption act in the United States. And if our friends in Tallahassee can pull this thing off, they'll create a model for anti-corruption advocates across the country to get money out of politics at the local, state, and federal level. And all without waiting for Congress to do things. You've probably noticed that's not really their strong suit. We've got a real chance for a big win down in Tallahassee. So, let's talk about what's going on down there and what we can do to help. So, I think bipartisan is one of those terms that modern politicians have overused to the point of complete meaninglessness. You know, it's one of those empty phrases they throw around, like middle-class jobs, or we swear not to you over this time. Real bipartisanship is an endangered species in 2014.
And I love this guy.
That's what makes what's happening in Tallahassee right now so important. We've partnered with an organization called Citizens for Ethics Reform, which is a group of locals that's leading the charge for the Tallahassee Anti-Corruption Act. And Citizens for Ethics Reform is led by an amazing and genuinely bipartisan group, including a Democratic county commissioner, the head of the local Tea Party network, and an independent ethics watchdog. And that probably sounds pretty unlikely, right? Like, how often do you see progressives and Tea Party conservatives playing on the same team? But this actually shouldn't be that surprising. Every poll we've ever done has shown really strong support from Republicans, Democrats, and independents for tough new laws that would get money out of politics. The Anti-Corruption Initiative in Tallahassee would create an independent ethics board and ethics officer to keep an eye on taxpayer money and, you know, actually enforce the law. What a concept. Cut the amount of money politicians can take from donors by 75%, and create a citizen funding system that makes it possible for candidates to run viable campaigns without having to sell out to big donors. And that means less cronyism and more efficient use of taxpayer money in the long run. And what's really cool here is that Team Tallahassee used an initiative process to put an anti-corruption act directly on the ballot. We didn't have to wrangle with local lawmakers and watch a good proposal get filled with loopholes. We just wrote a tough new anti-corruption law, took it to the people, and got over twice the number of signatures we needed to put it on the ballot. But this is just Tallahassee. We all know this is a national problem, but we also know that real reform isn't going anywhere in Washington anytime soon. If we want to break through at the national level, we have to start by building momentum at the state and local level first. Now, I grew up in the great state of Colorado, and at the risk of playing into certain stereotypes, I think the recent campaign to legalize marijuana is a perfect example of this strategy in action. Like, I don't know if anyone remembers when legalizing it was considered a pipe dream, but by picking smart local battles and appealing to a joint coalition of progressives, independents, and libertarians, legalization...
The bings that you're hearing, those are lazy pot reference jokes. So... Joint, pot, you know, I don't know how many more he's going to have.
Advocates have been racking up local wins. By winning locally, they've redrawn the political map nationally. In the early 90s, barely 20% of the public supported legalizing marijuana. Now, legalization is polling at record highs.
Highs.
Bongs.
Bungs.
Now, whether you think marijuana should be legalized or not isn't the point. What we should learn from this is that with the right political strategy, you can take an issue that everybody thought would be impossible to move and start to drive real change on a national scale. And there are dozens of cities and states all over the country where we can bypass compromised local legislatures and put tough new anti-corruption laws directly on the ballot right now. No congressional intervention or constitutional amendment required. One of the biggest misconceptions out there is that the only way to change anything is by amending the Constitution to overturn rulings like Citizens United and McCutcheon v. FEC. And don't get me wrong, those rulings suck something awful, but they only affect certain aspects of a very complicated problem. There are a ton of laws...
I feel like I need to have him on the show.
...tomorrow that would be 100% constitutional, even to the current Supreme Court. Everything from tougher lobbying laws to new disclosure rules to the ethics enforcement and citizen funding package we're seeing in Tallahassee. These are all things we can and should do right now. That's how we break through the gridlock, and that's how we win. And it all starts in Tallahassee. So, what can you do to help? If you-
anyway, we won it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just boom.
Yeah, that's that is kind of a head exploding.
But... let me do my best high impression. But okay. Man, it totally makes sense, dude. You got it. Like the most corrupt pile of shit place in the country.
Stop trying to be high. Just
something about it, man.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it is kind of mind blown. Unfortunately, you know, it's not something that's statewide. It's just Tallahassee.
Which just Tallahassee.
Which is kind of disappointing, but, you know.
But this.
That is the capital. It's a heck of a place to start.
It's a heck of a place to start. It's a great place to start.
Yeah.
It's going to shake some things. And you start, you know, you start at the small battles and you start the wave.
Yeah. Just as he was describing, you know, it has to start at the local level. And I think if I let him carry on a little bit longer, he probably would have said more. Well, obviously he would have said more. That was a stupid thing for me to say. I must be high. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Speaking of pot, which he was speaking of tangentially, of course, everything's a tangent. The, of course, here in Florida, we did have a ballot for medical marijuana. Now, a unique facet of Florida politics is that it takes a 60% majority vote to pass any constitutional amendments, state constitutional amendments. Which, by the way, that amendment that made that rule didn't pass with more than 60%. Just thought that was interesting.
But it was at 57.
Medical marijuana.
The taint of victory there.
The medical marijuana bill itself, that had a 57% approval rating.
Very respectable. 57%
of the people who voted for in favor of it.
Yeah, a majority of the people that bothered to show up at the polls on Tuesday.
Most of them were completely red. 57% of those people.
Yeah.
Were in favor of this sucker.
That is really saying something. So, of course, the people here in Florida that were behind it are definitely going to do it again in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, certainly 2016 is going to be a heck of a year. We'll see what happens in 2016, at least. So, we are starting to have some real bandwidth problems with the video. So, I think we're probably going to have to call it a night. Of course, conveniently...
Yeah, that was a really long lag spike.
Yeah, conveniently, we're also having run out of topics. We've actually finally gone through everything, I believe. Did I miss anything? If I did, you know what? It wasn't worth it. So, picks. I don't really have anything. I did finish The Martian, and I'm reading a couple other books right now. I'm reading Of Dice and Men, which is the story of how D&D and role-playing games have entered our pop culture and what they actually mean to the people that play them and society around them. It's actually a really good read.
Did you see that series of commercials where it was orcs and elves and whatnot, and they were playing, instead of playing Dungeons and Dragons, they were playing Cubicles and Careers.
Yeah, Cubicles and Careers. Yeah, I saw that. Oh, God, it was horrible. Oh, that's never a game that anyone would like to play.
That's a game that needs to be made.
Oh, I don't know that I'd want to play that, though, because that's too close to home. It's just too close to home.
Can't it be. Should be made. It's for the younger generation, because they need to know.
No.
It's a great practice tool. This is, you're going to do this for realsies one day.
Did you just say for realsies?
Yes, I did.
Oh, fine. For realsies.
For realsies.
Oh boy. Okay. So Don, you had the pick. You put in the cheese bread, right?
Yeah, it was a Brazilian cheese bread. I got the country wrong, but it was really good. So food. I mean, back to food.
Yeah. We won't have that against you. It's all good.
Brazilian cheese bread. I put up the Pinterest link on there, so it has a bunch of different links to recipes, rather than just putting one up there, because there's probably a number of ways to make it. Mm. But they all seem very simple, and they're gluten-free for those who don't want gluten.
Yes, for I've heard it said by those that do have gluten intolerance issues, they call themselves glutards. So
yeah, that works.
I'm not to blame for that one.
Here's a question: were they the ones who ate paste in kindergarten?
I'll have to inquire of them.
I wonder.
I think that's just very punny of you. Very punny. David, do you have any picks?
Do I have any picks? No.
No picks, no plugs, no nothing cool that you've been up to.
I'm working, hopefully, to get Meme Time News up and running Monday. So the format is going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. There's going to be a series of short, roughly 4-minute YouTube videos. And also on Friday, there's going to be an amalgamation of all of them that will go out as an audio-only podcast.
Ah, fantastic. And if we can, we'll also incorporate that into the O'Reilly Radio Cowan Services Network. Taking over your podcast one radio something or other at a time. Enjoy. So that's all we've got for today. So I believe it's time for the ending. Here's the credits and the stuff, and go. Sit, go.
Well, that was quite...
Man, this anticlimactic.
That's it for us tonight. We hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we've enjoyed making it. This is the part where I beg for audience participation. Head over to O'ReillyRadio.com. That's O-R-L-Y radio.com and participate in the live stream. Chat with us during the show on our IRC. And if you have topic ideas, email them to us at O'ReillyRadioPodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 470-222-ORLY-6759 and post and vote on stories on our subreddit.
You know, it's really kind of funny. Because I've been sick, I totally don't feel like I sound like that anymore. So listening to my own voice in the headphones and then, you know, through the... It's like, who is this guy talking? Right now, who is this guy talking? I don't even understand.
At reddit.com/r/O'ReillyRadio. And if that wasn't enough, we're all over the web. Check out our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Tumblr, our Google Plus, and even video of the show archived at youtube.com. Consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or if you really love us, I mean really love...
Actually, if you really, really love us, you really ought to go out there and actually leave us a review, because we haven't had any yet. That's really disappointing. I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Over 30 shows now. Come on.
Please.
Anything. Just get the word out there.
Of us. Consider help offset the cost of the show by contributing to our Patreon page, accessible through the Help Us link on our homepage. We really can't thank you enough for spending time with us. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music Rocket and Pangea provided by Kevin McLeod at Incomptech.com.